back in the year 1968, a fellow by the name of Troy Perry formed the Universal Fellowship of Metropolitan Community Churches for Homosexuals. Victor Paul Weirwillie in 1968 founded The Way International in Ohio. In 1968, the Wesleyan Methodist Church merged with the Pilgrim Holiness Church to form the Wesleyan Church. The same year, the Methodist Church and the Evangelical United Brethren Church merged to form the United Methodist Church. In 1968, Herbert W. Armstrong incorporated the Worldwide Church of God. Charles E. Fuller died. Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated by James Earl Ray. In other news that year, Apollo 8, with three astronauts, orbited the moon. Survivor 7 landed on the moon. And the USS Pueblo was seized by North Korea. In 1968, Senator Robert Kennedy was killed in Los Angeles by Sirhan Sirhan, and Richard M. Nixon was elected the 37th president of these United States. And on Sunday evening, June the 2nd, 1968, at 7 p.m., a group of 15 people met at the Knights of Python Hall at 10th and B Streets over here in National City. They'd been gathered by Brother Orville Tuck and his wife Golda Mae for the purpose of organizing a new church in Chula Vista. Now, Brother Tuck was a church planter. He had organized a church or two in Missouri, and then while he was in the Navy in California, he had organized a church in San Francisco. Then he came to National City, where he and his brother-in-law, Bill McTeer, began work. And when he started this church, he was 57 years old. They begin the service that Sunday evening with the singing of a hymn. Some of those present gave personal testimonies. And then Brother Tuck brought a message from Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20, on the Great Commission. And when the invitation was given, 13 of those 15 people present covenanted together to form a church. Brother Tuck was called by that new church to be their pastor. Other officers were elected to serve the church. And they selected as their name Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church. It was their intention to obtain property and to establish their church here in Chula Vista. They later met at the home of Jerry and Betty Tuohy in Spring Valley, where they drafted a constitution and bylaws for this new church. By the way, Betty Tuohy was the Tuck's daughter. The first missionary that this new church voted to support was a fellow by the name of Laurel Woosley, a missionary to the Philippines. The pledged him $10 a month support. Brother Woosley was out of the church in San Francisco that Brother Tuck had established up there. When they moved here to Chula Vista, they rented Marion Hall at 242 Kennedy Street down here. Marion Hall is gone now. Apartments have been constructed there where it was. But they began holding services there on July the 3rd, 1968. On October the 13th of that year, 68, Brother George Poole and his wife Barbara, she was another daughter of the Tucks, they moved from Odessa, Texas, and that's where Rita and I came out here from, and joined this church. They had two sons, John Mark and Gary David, and a daughter, Diane Rachel. Now, a fourth child was added to their family on December the 27th, 1970, when Gregory Daniel was born. Brother Poole had pastored churches in Ohio, Missouri, and Texas for the previous 10 years. That same month, Brother Tuck was contacted by representatives of the Bible Baptist Church of Imperial Beach regarding a possible merger of the two churches. Now, the Bible Baptist Church of Imperial Beach had been started from the Castle Park Baptist Church here in Chula Vista, where I was pastoring, by a group of people, members of our church, who lived in Imperial Beach, and they'd started a church over there. And now then, they're merging with the Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church. They had 62 members of the Bible Baptist Church of Imperial Beach, and there were 23 members of the Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church at that time. The Imperial Beach Church had already bought $9,000 worth of undeveloped real property up here in this area. Now, that's when this was the top of a barren hill and there were no houses anywhere around it. They'd bought property. I've forgotten now just the extent of their holdings. But they owed a balance of $6,880 on it. Their payments were $85 a month. By the end of that year, 1968, after just 7 months, the church had real property worth $9,000. They had $864.44 in the bank. They had an indebtedness of $6,880 and a membership of 86 people by the end of that year. Then on January the 12th, 1969, Brother Tuck resigned as pastor of the church. Brother George Poole was called as pastor the same day. Brother Tuck returned to Missouri, where he continued to pastor until his death on the 16th of October, 1986, at the age of 75. His picture is out here in the lobby. Brother Poole led this congregation in a move from Marion Hall down here on Kennedy Street to the Starlight Center right across the street here. And the first meeting at that location was held on March the 2nd, 1969. And at that meeting, the church changed its name back to, I told you they had merged with the Bible Baptist Church of Imperial Beach. They changed their name back to Chula Vista Bible Baptist. Baptist Church. During the year 1970, negotiations were underway for the construction of a church building. Finally, on September the 28th, 1970, an agreement was made with Saratoga Development Corporation to exchange the property that had been acquired as a result of the church merger, the Imperial Beach Church, for this 40,000 square feet of property on this southeast corner of Oneida and Nolan Streets. And on November the 5th, 1970, the church, now they're meeting right across the street over here, this was vacant property. They entered into a contract with POTUS Development Corporation for the construction of this church auditorium on this property for $35,815 at 8.5% interest with payments of $180 a month. This building we're in now was completed, and the first service was held in this auditorium on Wednesday evening, July the 7th, 1971. 41 people were present at that service, and they sat in folding chairs because these pews had not yet been installed. Here's where I came into the picture. During this time, I'm pastor down here on 3rd Avenue. On June the 20th, 1976, after holding a revival meeting here with Brother Poole, I began working with him as co-pastor. June the 20th, 1976. That was fun. George and I had a wonderful time here. He would preach one service, I would preach the next. Like I would be preaching on Sunday morning, he'd take the Sunday night service. Next Sunday, he'd preach the morning service, I'd take the Sunday evening service. And we went on and on like that. During Sunday school, he would teach the adults in here. This was the only building we had. We had a partition across the auditorium back there, and I taught the young people in that part of the building. On January the 1st, 1978, Brother Poole and I reinstated services down here at the Castle Park Baptist Church, which had changed its name to Bethel Baptist Church and had been closed for several months. And he and I then took turns preaching every other service at both churches. If I was preaching up here, he would be in the pulpit of the church down there. Then that evening we would switch and back and forth like that for a long time. Then in August of 1979, Brother Poole received and accepted a call to pastor the Grace Baptist Temple in San Antonio, Texas. Now, he had some connections with that church. He'd been in the Air Force. And while he was in the Air Force, he'd been stationed there at San Antonio. And he had attended the Grace Baptist Temple. In fact, that's where he had surrendered to preach. So it had a place in his heart. And the pastor had retired, and they called George to pastor their congregation. With much misgiving, he left Chula Vista and moved to San Antonio with his family. But before he left on the 19th of August, 1979, we led the 27-member congregation of Bethel Baptist Church down here and the 24-member congregation of this Bible Baptist Church in a merger. And after he left, I became the sole pastor, and I was assisted during that time by Brother Earl Bailey, who's been, he and his wife now are with the Lord. On January the 14th, 1980, we sold the property on 3rd Avenue to the Christian Reformed Church for $165,000. And we used the proceeds to build the educational building out here and to refurbish this present building and to pay off the existing mortgage on the property, so that we had all the buildings all paid for. We were debt free with money in the bank. On March the 10th, 1980, got to tell you about building the building out here. We made an application to the Chula Vista Planning Department for a permit to construct our new 30 by 50 building. They fought us for almost a year. And finally, permission was granted on February the 26th of 1981. Now that's from March the 10th to February the 26th, almost a year. 2 days after we got permission, we had groundbreaking, and then Brother Bill Allen came and built our building, and dedication day was June the 27th, 1981. Today we celebrate the 42nd anniversary of the Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church. I figured out there's been over 4,375 sermons preached from this pulpit. And an equal number of Bible lessons have been taught. The records show that over 500 people have walked down this aisle, many of them coming by profession of faith in Christ and have been baptized in this baptistry. At that rate, on the average, I figure it takes 25 sermons to get one person saved. But we just do what God's called us to do, and we leave the results up to Him who does all things well, and we give Him the glory. Back on June the 10th, 1960, I had moved from El Cajon to Chula Vista with my family to serve the Lord as co-pastor of the Castle Park Baptist Church and to start a Christian school there, which we did. So this year, on June the 10th, 3 days ago, we completed our 50th year of service in the city of Chula Vista. 50 years here in this city. And it was on June the 19th, coming up pretty soon, about 6 days, 1950, that I'd surrendered to preach. So this year, on June the 19th, I will complete 60 years in the ministry and begin my 61st. That seems like a lot. But when you look back over it, it doesn't seem like that much. I figure that I've preached, God has let me preach, over 6,000 sermons and as many Bible lessons. And yet, I still feel like a novice. That's a conservative number. I don't know how many weddings, and funerals, dedications, things like that that I've officiated at. But also coming up here on the 24th of this month, my wife Rita and I will celebrate our 64th wedding anniversary. We were married in Elton, Maryland on Monday morning, 24th of June, 1946. When we started out, it was just the two of us. There's more than that now. Things kind of sneak up on us, don't they? My admonition to you this morning on our anniversary day, and let me briefly give you this. We must remain faithful to God, faithful to the cause of Christ, keeping His work and His service first and foremost in our priorities, because God rewards faithfulness. We must remain faithful to the Bible. That's the Word of God. Remember, there's no other book in the world like it. It's the power of God unto salvation. It's the lamp unto our feet. It's the light unto our path to lead us and guide us in the path of righteousness. It's our daily bread to nourish and sustain our souls. It's our living water to quench our thirst and cleanse our walk. It is our comfort in time of trouble, and it's the sword of the Spirit with which we defeat our foes. We must continue to obey the commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ, to love one another and to care for one another, even as Christ loves and cares for us, because we are one in Him and we are His body. We must continue to worship together. We are the church, each one of us a member in particular. It's when we're gathered together in His name that the Lord is in our midst. And He tells us, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. And this way we support and strengthen and sustain one another. We must remain constant in prayer. It's only when we ask of God, believing, that we receive. Prayer is our lifeline. It's our line of communication with God. And it's free. You don't get a monthly bill for it like you do your telephone. God is available at any hour of any day or night. We pray, He hears, and He answers. And we must practice the presence of God. He continually wants us to be aware of the fact that He is with us. He hears everything that we say. He sees everything that we do. And He goes with us wherever we go. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He's always there. And we must remember that those who have never accepted Christ as their personal Savior are lost. We must do all that we can to remedy that situation. If they die in that condition of unbelief, they will remain lost for all eternity. We must be faithful in bearing witness of God's willingness to save all those who believe. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He is the way. He is the only way. No man can come to the Father except by Jesus. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. And as a church, it is our duty and privilege to have a part and to share in the ministry of our missionaries as they go out to the uttermost parts of the earth, carrying out the commission that God gave and the good news that Jesus saves. They are an extension arm of our church, and we support them with our tithes and our offerings. We look at the past, and we learn from our mistakes. We look at the present, and we see the advantage and opportunities that we have set before us. We look at the future, and we know that Jesus is coming again with his reward to give every man according to his works. The Church of Jesus Christ, the Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church, is the greatest single force in the world for good. We've been endued with the power of God, and through the Holy Spirit and by his power, we can pull down strongholds. We can subdue kingdoms. We can proclaim righteousness. We have the promise of God that the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. For the church is founded upon a rock, and that rock is Jesus Christ. What we cannot accomplish for God individually, working separately, we can accomplish as a body, working together with God. And the past 42 years, there have been at least 65 of our soldiers who have stacked their arms and retired to the presence of Jesus. Seems that when one has gone down, God has given us another to take his place. We recently celebrated Memorial Day and honored those who served our country in the military. But we also honor those Christian soldiers who have so earnestly contended for the faith once delivered to the saints. Many people have moved away and have transferred to other units to continue the battle on a new field. It's a good thing they did. Where in the world would we put 500 people? And sad to say, we've had others who have been captured by the enemy and have become spiritual casualties in this war between good and evil, between God and Satan. They were overcome, overpowered, and became prey to the enemy. There are some who deserted the ranks, like Demas, having loved this present evil world. But for us here today, let us resolve in our hearts to keep our eyes on our Lord Jesus Christ and our goal always before us. Let us depend upon his strength to work through us to do his will and to accomplish his purpose. Remembering that we can do all things through Christ, for it is in Christ. For it's Christ who works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I appreciate this congregation today. There's not anyone here who started out with the church 42 years ago. But we appreciate the foundation they laid. We appreciate the work that they did and for what they accomplished for Christ. And I appreciate what you are doing for the Lord. I love each and every one of you, and I think about how wonderful it's going to be when we all get to heaven and gather together around the beautiful throne of God to worship Him who loved us with an everlasting love. There may be someone here this morning in our congregation that isn't saved, that does not know the Lord. I want you to know this morning we're concerned about you. We want you to be saved. We want you to know Christ. We want you to have the same hope that we share in our hearts that one day we'll see the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe there's some here today that are not members of the Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church, but maybe you would like to be a part of this congregation and a member of this church. The invitation is open to you. As God leads, let God have His way. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You today for Your bountiful blessings upon us and upon this church. We thank You, Father, for the opportunity we have to fellowship together. And we thank You for those who have prepared this food to the nourishment of our bodies. We ask that You might bless it. And as we sit down around those tables in that banquet hall out there, it's only a foreshadowing of that time when we shall sit down in that banquet hall in eternity with the Lord Himself. Father, speak to hearts today. If there's one here that's unsaved, I pray that today they will open their hearts and let Jesus come in. If there's one here today that has a burden on their heart, that needs to pray and needs the prayers of other Christians, may they share that burden with us, that we all may pray together toward that end. And Father, we'll give You the praise, the honor, and the glory for all things in Jesus' name. Amen.